Be seated. Today's gospel story is one of the most remarkable to me in all of Luke's gospel. I am astonished at the way Jesus responds here to an incredibly awkward situation, to say the least. Perhaps we need a little background to understand the situation more fully. By the time of this dinner, Jesus had created quite a stir in Palestine as an original and vital holy man. All sorts of people were attracted to him, rich and poor folk, educated and illiterate, highly respectable, and the genuine riffraff at the very bottom of the social hierarchy. One evening, Jesus is being entertained by one of the leading citizens of Jerusalem. And while he was at table, something utterly astonishing occurred. A woman of the streets, a person described as a notorious sinner, which quite likely meant that she was a well-known prostitute, broke into the scene and began to pour expensive perfume from an alabaster jar onto Jesus' feet. And she wept so much as to bathe his feet in her tears. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, this intimate action shattered every social custom of the day. This woman wasn't an invited guest. And in that day, women didn't intrude into the company of men who were sitting at the table for dinner. In fact, not even one's wife was invited to come in the midst of a gathering of men. In terms of sheer emotion, here was as tasteless and vulgar a show of affection as you could possibly imagine. Jesus had every reason to be very, very embarrassed. However, instead of worrying about himself and his reputation, Jesus immediately jumped to this woman's defense and began to celebrate what must have happened in her life to prompt this kind of behavior. Now, we're not told what had previously occurred to this woman, but obviously something had taken place that was absolutely life-changing. We can only imagine that the great love and mercy of God had become an event for her through the gracious ministry of Jesus. Somehow she had seen that God's goodness was bigger than all her sinfulness. Somehow she had seen that the one who calls all being into reality is the one whose property is always to have mercy. This woman had come to the sense, this woman had come to sense in the depth of her being that there is nothing she can do, nothing we humans can do to make God love us any more than God already loves us. And there is nothing we can do to make God stop loving us. She had experienced a breakthrough into the very heart of God. And that had changed everything about her life. The way she understood herself, the way she understood both the past and the future. She had been seized by this wonderful sense that God was more interested in her future than in her past. And therefore, she had come to give back to the one who had opened her eyes to this deepest truth. She had to give back the gratitude that was appropriate for such an inbreaking of grace. Now, what had happened to her was more important to Jesus than was his own reputation. He was so full of joy at the fact that this woman had discovered the wondrous grace of God that he was quick to celebrate her wonderful change of life. In fact, Jesus' ministry was marked with such moments when he celebrated true salvation coming into a person's life. The insight on which Jesus builds his life and ministry is the loveliest truth in the world. It is this truth that life is a gift. Birth is a windfall. None of us earned our way into this world by what we did or by what we did not do. It was given to us out of pure generosity, out of everlasting mercy. Jesus understood that life is given to us as a gracious gift. Our worth is not something we have to earn or to deserve. It was this understanding of life as gift that not only enabled Jesus to minister as he did, but that also allowed him to open other people's eyes to the great generosity that lies at the heart of God. God's great generosity that is, in fact, the greatest saving truth. Jesus, at the time of his baptism, realized that he was, by the grace of God, the beloved child of God. And what was true of Jesus at that moment of his baptism is true of each one of us as well. That is what the woman with the alabaster jar discovered, and what accounts for the incredible change that came over her life. It can change our lives as well. I know of a man who struggled for years with feelings of inadequacy. He had tried so hard to earn a sense of worth by out-achieving, out-competing other people. But every time, it turned out to be just like cotton candy. Achievements lasted for just a moment and then turned into nothing but air in the depth of his being. After years of seeking to earn his own salvation, one day in a hotel room, he finally cried out in sheer anguish, "Oh God, what must I do? What must I do to be saved?" And he said that to his great amazement, as he uttered his words, it was as if a hand began writing something on the wall across from his bed. And what that hand wrote was nothing. Nothing at all. It comes with the territory. And it dawned on him that what he had so tried to earn was in fact a gift freely given if he would simply accept it. He said that he had what Thomas Merton calls a breakthrough to the already. An old image that he had years before came back to his mind. An image of a man riding on an ox, looking for an ox. Here was somebody anxiously surveying the whole terrain to try to find something when all along what he most wanted was present right underneath him. This is the great truth of being saved by grace. We do not earn our worth by what we do or what we don't do. It was given to us by the great generosity of God at the moment of our conception. In this passage, it is clear to me that in his ministry, Jesus had opened up the way for this notorious sinner to learn the wonders of what it means that life is gift and birth is windfall. Life is gift and birth is windfall. And she came that day to give thanks to the one who had opened her eyes to the deepest of all truths. I invite you in this moment to ponder this truth that God loves you in exactly the same way that God loves every human being who God has called out of nothing into being. You already are the beloved child of God, not by virtue of what you have made of yourself, but by virtue of what God has made of you out of pure and amazing grace. I invite you to let God's grace be the basis of how you feel about yourself. And may our God of everlasting mercy help each of us break through to what is already true. We are all beloved in God's sight. Amen.